play that funky music.
Yeah, well, actually, we don't have music. We don't have time. We don't have time for the music. This is a catch-up show. There's a lot to talk about. And you've got more to talk about than me, Judith. I might as well just put my finger over my lips for the next 45 minutes and just let you do a one-woman monologue about your bloody holiday. I'm so glad you're back, though, Judith, because there was that poor lady found on the rock crying. The poor lady her 60s, described as a woman in her 60s, blonde.
Yes.
Wearing, get this, a Breton stripe. I thought, oh, crikey, what's happened to Judith? And she's a mystery woman found on a rock in Croatia, apparently where she was found on this rock, very remote, and she'd have had to be a very strong swimmer. I thought, Jesus Christ.
It had my name all over it, didn't it?
Yeah, and then the photo didn't look like you, but she did look very confused and upset. So we hope that somebody's recognised her. And
I
the
hope so.
Put
I think the gang thought it might be me too, didn't they?
Yeah, of course. It was flagged up. Somebody emailed us and said, are you sure this isn't Judith? I thought, oh, crikey Moses. Anyway, Judith, right, okay. I've seen some photos. I think you stopped sending them because I think you felt
I did.
Jealousy from a distance.
Well, it was a little bit. It was a little bit like that phrase which I remember Clive James sort of invented. He went to Cannes once and he went on a lot of yachts. And the headline of it, and I'll never forget it, was, I'm on a yacht and you're not. And that kind of basically was it. That was my week. I'm on a yacht.
Did it go to your head?
Oh, Jenny. It did.
Oh,
do you know what?
God. I'm glad you're back. I'll knock some sense into you.
It was, you know that, I mean, I've only ever flown sort of club class like once and somebody else was paying for it. But it is that feeling of, oh God, you poor loves down there.
But do you pretend, when you're stepping foot on your Uber yacht, your beautiful Uber yacht, and I sort of did snoop the holiday company.
Oh,
and,
did you
oh,
know?
Of course I did, yes. I just thought, I wonder how much this costs. So I just looked into it and found out it was quite a lot. Yeah. And because you went luxury, went full on luxury, you went on the Diana, which was the boat you were on. And
you
it was,
have done your research,
yeah, of course I have.
Haven't
yeah, I've been doing a lot of travelling, Judith, and I can't work all the time. So now and again, I just have a little snoop. I'm like a sort of lifestyle Miss Marple. Anyway, it did look like a really beautiful boat, but I know that sort of thing, and I've done it myself when I've been travelling posh.
Oh yeah,
where you arrange your face in an expression of faux kind of nonchalance and kind of don't look at me, getting on the this plane and turning, you know, left. Look at me. Did you do that?
Oh, God, yeah, because what would happen is that we would dock and people would have their photographs taken in front of the boat, which, of course...
Pretending they were on the boat.
Oh, look at us, we're about... Yeah, you're so right, because, I mean, if I'm honest, I would think, oh, I might just wander out and get an ice cream just to walk past and think, oh, look at me there, that's my plank. Actually, that's my little gangway there. Oh, but, you know...
Look, that's my bra. That's my bra hanging outside my cabin. Do you see? You should have taken paying guests, Judith. You should have said, listen, I'll take you on board for a fiver. Okay, you can see
it
my
was
cabin.
It was very, very lovely and ridiculously expensive. But it's one of those one-off things. It's the only thing we've done, like everybody else. It's
some of us haven't done anything. But there we go. Jeff and I are going to have the biggest fuck-off holiday next year. Honestly,
good.
I'm not doing another year without something exciting. I've got to get away. I've got to get off this miserable little island because really it is a shithole at the moment. But anyway, Judith, I want more detail about the holiday. I mean, okay, let me just ask you some questions.
Okay.
Did you have to cycle every day?
We had one day off of cycling. The cycling wasn't as strenuous as it might have been, but we were all on e-bikes. I'm saying it wasn't very strenuous, but actually thinking about it, it was always at the back. There was a leader at the front and there was Dario at the back, sort of picking up the stragglers.
Was Dario a laugh?
No, Dario was annoying. Dario was really annoying. He was one of those. Do you know that those kind of blokes that have got a very fragile ego, but they're kind of bodybuilders. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there was
compensating,
compensating for
something that's lacking.
Yeah, a little bit. So there was a very lithe, lovely, lovely woman who was in charge. I noticed doing all the hassle. Do you know what I mean? It's like ringing your head, kind of all that stuff. And then sometimes he would do a handstand, you know, in front of the boat, showing off that he could do that, but actually nobody really gave a shit. I love the idea of
him doing handstands and everyone kind of yawning slightly.
Just a bit.
Oh, Dario.
And, exactly. And none of his tops really fitted well enough and everything. And so he would strut. He would do a lot of strutting.
Yeah.
So what they would have, is they would have a sort of steward thing. So at the beginning of the day, Lucy would say, well, you know, I'm going to need some stewards, because you might go up to a junction and, you know, the stragglers, somebody would have to be there to say, no, it's up the hill, or no, it's to the left. I was never a steward because I was always at the back. And that was...
Who wants to be a steward? Bloody hell.
Oh, I might have been a steward just
No, Judith, you know, if you're a steward, did you have to wear a tabard?
No, it wasn't that serious.
Okay,
but, you know,
that's
you kind of
all
got
right.
brownie points. It wasn't a badge.
Okay.
But you got brownie points. But so I was usually at the back. I was always at the back. What I'm saying, usually, it was always at the back.
Who was at the back with you?
Oh, I was on the air. Sometimes there was another lady who never did very much cycling called Diana. She and I. But
I think people will really want to know this. Did you have an option when you woke up in the morning and thought, fuck cycling? Could you have just stayed on that?
Oh, you could have done. You could have done. I'd have stayed
on that all to yourself.
You would, wouldn't you?
I would. I'd have just been lying on a deck chair in the shade, because you know me, my skin cancer worries.
Yes. I'd have
had my headphones in. I'd been listening to an audible book. I've been seeing the sights. I might have set up a little painting deck.
Oh,
fuck the cycling. Genuinely, I think I'd have cycled once. Just to say I'd done it and to show willing.
Yeah. No, well, you would, I don't know. Yes, they would have had
attractions. I'd have packed.
Oh, go on.
I'd have packed some elasticated bandages so that I could have pretended on day two that an old injury had flared up. A very old injury. And what a shame I'm going to have to stay on deck. Because
yeah,
I think,
the kind
you know,
of girl
there's
you
boats
are.
And there's boats and that boat did look like...
It was lovely.
Boats are funny because sometimes seasickness can hit.
Oh, Jenny, well, that was a bit of a problem, actually, because it wasn't, you know, I was worried about the seasickness, obviously, because I am, you know, I get very, very queasy.
When we went over to Brownsea Island, you went a bit green around the gills.
Did I?
Yes.
I know, sometimes I do things without really, well, you know, I do things without thinking them through. So I was, you know, but look, terribly calm and everything. So day one, we all started to get ready for the cycle. Honestly, you'd think we were doing the bloody Tour de France with all the bloody gear we'd got. We only went about 15 miles. So I was filling up my water bottles by the water cooler, like what everybody else was doing. This is day one, breakfast one, Jenny, doing that. And I thought, suddenly feeling, I had that awful feeling. You know that feeling when your mouth fills with water?
Yeah, like when you were pregnant. Did you think, oh God, I feel like I might be pregnant?
Yes.
Oh God.
And I think it was that process of kind of leaning down and over. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
All of a sudden I thought, there was a bin next to it. I thought, fucking hell, I'm going to have to be sick in that to run back to the cabin.
So you were scouting for places to be sick.
I just made it, Jenny.
Really?
Threw up and I thought, well, what, oh, this dude. Is great, isn't it? I spent this fortune.
Great start.
I'm bloody seasick on day one. So, yeah.
But was it choppy at that point? Or was
not
it just
really,
a question of getting used to it?
A little bit. I think I got used to it. I bought some travel bands. I was forever in the chemist, Jenny. Every single place we docked, there was something I had to go and find.
Well, there's no better place to visit when you're abroad. I mean, yeah. I think both of us agree that, you know, there's nothing like a foreign chemist.
They are lovely, aren't they?
They are lovely, aren't they?
All those cabinets, they've got a lot of nice cabinets, don't they?
I think it's because we're used to those sort of boots has become very, very ordinary. And it's the lighting in boots that is so cruel and so harsh.
Oh, it is, isn't it?
And you go into a sort of Croatian chemist in the shade of the afternoon down a cobbled street and the lighting is very different and it's a whole completely different experience.
And they have nice sort of clogs, don't they? And expensive... They have good soaps.
And there's all sorts of over-the-counter stuff you can get. I think some places you can get Valium over-the-counter, Judith.
Really?
They should, you know, those red and amber list countries. They should sort of, they should publish lists of where of countries where you can get certain medications over the counter without prescription. That's what they should do for us. Absolutely.
Yeah, anyway, that would be a
so you're in and out of the chemist. Every time you dock, you're in a different chemist. It's great. That's wonderful.
And I was also fig collecting. You see, the other thing about being at the back is that I could smell the figs. I was like this, you know, that character in the book Perfume, in the Patrick Swayze, that woman, that boy with a really sensitive nose. And that's what hit me, you know, not being to Europe or out of the country for nearly 2 years, is the kind of smells, you know, the hot conifer for trees and the smell of the figs. I was like a spaniel looking for truffles at the back. I could smell it, you know, and then I'd stop because you were allowed to stop. So I took a large bag for figs every day, and so it was quite
fresh
good.
Figs. So you're collecting fresh figs because put up a picture of some dried figs from quite a large bag, Judith. I mean quite a large bag.
Yeah, well, I found those before I even got on the boat. You know, I sniffed those out in a market. They were a little disappointing compared to the but to be honest, if the engines had failed, they'd have put me at the back of the boat.
At
and
the
been
back,
absolutely
let
fine.
Rip, let rip.
Off oh
we
yes.
Go. Off we go.
Oh yes.
The other thing in the notes that you sent me about your holiday is that the phrase "hot shiny pavements" and that to me conjures up Dubrovnik. Perfectly.
Yes.
I've never seen cleaner pavements.
And shiny somehow, because you know, all that fantastic kind of European architecture.
Yeah.
And yes, the shiny, uneven floors that are hot.
I mean, lethal. If you're going to have a
terrible. Yeah. In fact, all the cruise ships, you know, would come. You know, sometimes you'd be in a place like Split or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, all the big cruise ships would be there. And you'd see, you knew they were cruise ships because they were like, well, first of all, they're all wired up to, you know, a leader. And they were all kind of listening to the same thing with their earphones. Yeah. But all the Nordic poles would come off, you know, great armies of Nordic poles would come off.
Oh, God.
You know, negotiating all the kind of paving stones and also all these streets. But there's, you know, all that lovely kind of lighting that you've forgotten about. Soft, sort of sulphurous lighting in the evening of cafes and, you know, sitting out until late and all of that. Kind
not
of
having to put
it.
Your cardi on.
Yes.
Yeah, marvellous.
That was a bit like that. And me and the captain sort of chummed up because I had my own little place at the front, which I like to think, because I was a bit seasick on day one. So people kind of let me sit there. Do you know what I mean? Oh, I feel a bit seasick when I have to sit here. It's the best bit. And I loved watching the crew. I loved watching, you know how they
know
were like
what
this,
they're doing.
Oh, they knew exactly. So
Did you learn some German? Did you say to the captain, "Guten Morgen, Guten Morgen"?
I didn't admit to that.
Ich heiße Judith. Jawohl.
Nur ein bisschen. Sehr gut. But we communicated in sort of sign language. He's about my age, and he was such a lovely guy.
Oh God, you fancied the captain, didn't you?
I did fancy the captain, Jenny. I wish I'd taken
a
picture.
You're so soon through. You like anyone that takes control and can do things.
Yeah, I do. It's a bit like that kind of practical thing. And he had two skippers, if that's the right word. And he didn't really have to say anything, but you know, he'd throw that big. I did fancy him. You're right. He kind of threw this big sort of blue black rope over when we got to dock, and then when it was really difficult to park, because it was sometimes, and he had to kind of back up, and I used to watch him do that. Do you know what? I really had the hots for him.
Of course
I don't think I'd really worked
that
out.
Every time
he
threw that big blue rope, you thought, "Oh, catch me!"
And then he put the anchor down when we were going for a swim. Do you know what I mean? And it was this great big sort of brutal bit of chain work, isn't it?
Yeah, Judith, you've got to write this, and you've got a sort of soft porn fiction bubbling up here.
I have, haven't I?
Yeah,
I really
anchor
have.
Down, cock up. Come on. So was the swimming good? I want to know, where did you swim?
Oh, the swimming was gorgeous. Yeah. It really was gorgeous because he had this platform at the back. You know that? You know where Robert Maxwell died? Do you remember all those photos of the Rob? Where there was a kind of proper little, not just a silly old bit of, stepladder that looked like it was from.
So it was a kind of jetty bit, a sort of platform, proper.
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
How many people could fit on that platform?
Oh, you know, 10, 15 people could go on there, and then there was a freshwater shower when you got out, but two really good sort of ladders down. Yeah. And, oh, God, I mean, just gorgeous. You know, they'd stop in sort of turquoise waters. And, yeah,
you didn't see any jellyfish, did you?
I was on the lookout. I was on there was quite a lot of scanning.
Spoil my day. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I know. I didn't really see any. No, didn't see any jellyfish. I was a little bit conscious of that. But no, the swimming was absolutely gorgeous. And nobody would come with me for a midnight swim. I was annoyed with them for that.
Because they were too pissed. You're the only sober one. That's the trouble. Everyone else is thinking, oh, I've had four glasses of wine. I might not come back up.
Yeah, well, they were now, probably right.
The other question that is sort of brewing. Yes. And then we've no more holiday talk.
Yes,
absolutely. One more question, Judith, that I know the gang will want to know. Did anybody on board get on your nerves? Were there people that you found yourself avoiding? Were you really, really friendly at the beginning and then thought, oh, shit, I wish I'd kept my trap shut?
You sort of slightly get sociability fatigue, don't you? Because yeah, you start, it's kind of, you know, oh, I do know, what did you used to do mostly, to be honest? There was one woman.
Had anyone heard of us, Judith? Had anybody heard of the podcast?
No.
Were they all Germans?
Mostly Germans and Swiss Americans, terribly nice people, very, very nice people, except this one woman called Olga, who we all chose to hate, who sat on her own, had a single cabin, and just was, you know, just didn't join in. And I suppose if it had been an Agatha Christie novel, she'd have done it, wouldn't she? Or everyone would have thought she'd have done it.
Or else she'd have been the one bumped off.
Yeah. But then
and it would have been all of you that did it, like the train.
Oh, yes.
You know, where you've all got a reason, that one.
Yes. So she was very irritating. But I suppose if it was a bit tiring, all the small talk, really. Do you know what I mean? It was.
Yeah,
it
so
was.
Glad to be home. Lovely to glad have done to it.
Oh, okay. Lovely to have been to have done it. You know, ridiculously expensive, but actually very pleased to be back. Yeah.
All right. Well done. And we're glad you're back in one piece. Right. Okay. By comparison, my life has been quite dull. To tell you, Judy.
Well, you've been on the road. You've been on
stage. Well, I've been on the road and I've had a lovely time. And I'm loving the show now. I really am.
Good.
I sort of, you know, I've started to sort of be able to play with it a bit and just, you know, it's kind of running itself and it's just rather good fun. And, you know, I've got a press night next week, which is bothering me at the Bloomsbury. But, you know, and I'll be disappointed if people don't like it and all that kind of thing. But
I'm sure they
you know,
will.
I've been in the business long enough to know that, you know, you bounce back from things, even if it doesn't go right on the night, you know, sometimes that's what happens. But anyway, I don't have to worry about it yet. It's not yet. And this time next week, I'll know. Oh, God. Anyway, I'm at June's at the moment, which, sorry, everybody, if my sound is a bit crap this week, because I'm travelling very heavily, Judith. I've got a massive suitcase with me because I'm here for quite a few days. I've been here for a few days and I'm going back on the road. I've been in Scotland. I've been all over the place. There we go.
So when is the last time you were at home? Hold on. Where were you last at home?
Today is Wednesday. I think I was last at home last Thursday or Friday.
Oh,
I mean,
gosh,
it's not long. I just went up to, anyway, it's all great and it's all fine. And I've got this driver who he doesn't eat, Judith. I've never felt so greedy in all my life.
Oh.
He's just he's a small man, small, slim man called John, right? And he's a really good tour manager. I mean, he can drive great distances. He's got a sort of bladder like mine, you know, the cast iron bladder. We just don't stop. We can do 400 miles, stuff
never.
Like that. It's like mad.
Never.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Bloody hell.
But then sometimes I go, John, I think I have to eat because I'm weak. I'm weak in the front of the car. And he just doesn't. He just doesn't get hungry.
Oh,
I mean, you know, like I'll have half a tub of soup from Marks and Spencer's because, you know, I'm sick of sandwiches. If I have one more sandwich, I'm going to turn into a fucking sandwich. So, you know, and he'll just have half a tub of soup and that will be it. He won't want crisps later or anything like that. That'll
really?
Be it.
Really?
Yes. Honestly, I wish you were my tour manager.
We'd be
at least I'd have snacks in the car. No, I mean, we do have some snacks, but God. Anyway, I'm at June's. I've got a terrible, terrible warning tale to tell everybody about. This is why I'm funny and fussy about not wanting showers in hotels, because the combination of my short-sightedness and inexplicable shower directions now has become beyond a joke. Get this. I fucked up in my mum's shower cubicle. which I don't use that often because I'm a bath girl. But for some reason, and I think it's probably because the flat needs some maintenance, because, you know, June's in a nursing home and, you know, there's often someone here keeping an eye on things and all that. There's, but it's the water doesn't run warm into the bath. You have about an inch and you sit there with your big flabby legs. You know, there's not even water covering your legs. I can't bear that. It's like a toddler's bath. Do you know what I mean?
Yes,
so I thought, right, well, just have a shower. Just have a shower. Because I'm editing this book up here. So I'm really working as hard as I can.
Of course you are. Incredibly busy, Jenny.
Yeah, yeah. Compared to some people, Judith Holder.
I know.
So, yeah, but, you know, I 5 years' time, I hope that I'm sat on a boat at some point.
I'm sure you will be.
Well, I just got to make some more money first. Anyway, what happened in this shower was I mistook the hot for the off. And I was having a very nice shower and I'd done my hair. And obviously my glasses weren't on my head because I'd been washing and washing my hair. And I very confidently turned this dial. I turned it all the way round very vigorously. Very vigorously, and I think I overrid the safety temperature. I think I squeezed it and overrode it. And I had the bath mat wedged in the shower cubicle door, and I couldn't immediately open it.
Oh,
and this scalding water. And of course, you know, what is sort of funny is where my fat bits are, where the water hit me.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't get my vagina because obviously my stomach is too, you know, you're looking for silver linings. At least my gut protected my vagina.
Yeah.
Because the skin down there is very delicate indeed.
Yeah.
But tits and tummy. It was like I'd fallen asleep on the deck of your boat. Without any factor 50 on.
Oh, gosh, and Jenny,
Literally, for 3 hours, I was lobster. Tormalinus pink I was. And
sore.
I had to sit sore. I was sore. And I also thought, God, if this bubbles, if this blisters,
I will
have to go to Blackpool Vic. And I just didn't want to go to Blackpool Vic. And I was really... And I was by myself and I just felt so foolish and stupid.
Well, I had to get a big frozen...
Fortunately, it was a big bag of frozen peas in my mum's freezer. And I had my dinner with this massive bag of peas on my tummy. So it's fine now, but it's just such a, you know, it's a real kind of, it was the foolishness. I thought, I'm a stupid old woman. And I'm not.
Oh, no, don't feel that, Jenny. Anybody could do that. And I also think that actually showers are tricky. They're all bloody different, aren't they?
Yeah, in hotels, sometimes it's a nightmare.
Yeah. And if you haven't got your glasses on, I mean, I can't see anything without my glasses on. Oh, that sounds awful.
It was awful, Judith.
God.
And shower control should be outside of the shower. That's, it's as simple as that. That's what Jeff does when he designs places.
Oh, that sounds awful. You poor thing.
Yes, I know. there we go. So that's about as exciting as it's been this week. That is my only anecdote.
No, but you say that, and I've seen loads and loads of things on the notice board from the gang.
Oh, yes, I've done some bits and bobs.
You've done some bloody good gigs. I'm really, really frustrated that I can't see you. I can't see you next week, but I'm seeing you in Milton Keynes the week after that.
Wait for Milton Keynes. I might know what I'm doing by Milton Keynes. No, it's I've got a few gigs this weekend, and then... it just goes on. I mean, it's not that, to be honest, this tour is not as hectic as many tours I've done in the past.
Isn't
because
it
had to be
Isn't
rescheduled.
It?
No, there's so many of us queuing up to get back on the road that, you know, the gigs are peppered. There's a lot of waste, there's gaps in between because everybody's trying to get in. It's really, it's a busy time now, you know. Unusual is that nobody in England's wearing masks, but everybody in Scotland has to wear a mask.
Is that right? I mean, I don't know. Are you finding that people in kind of super in motorway services are wearing masks and
half
still,
and half?
Stuff?
It's half entirely half. Entirely split down the middle. It's just a weird one. I do because, you know, and people say, well, you won't, you know, you double jabbed, so you probably, and I may not get particularly ill, but I would still have to isolate for 10 days, which would mean missing gigs. And that is what I'm really, really trying to avoid. So I'm still being as cautious as I can because I just can't, I can't fuck this tour about. It's been fucked about so many times. You know, it's been rescheduled 3 times. I can't keep doing it. I've just got to keep myself well, and it's as simple as that. So there we go. I've seen June. I've been here and I've seen June. I have to say, she's gone downhill, Judith, a bit.
You know, has she?
Yes, a terrible, terrible sort of hallucinations and imaginings and... Weirdly, not about me or my brother. She doesn't really worry about us. You know, me and Ben don't really concern her. And I don't know why that is.
Worried about Sarah then?
All the
time.
Last week, Sarah was in prison. There's nobody more law-abiding than my, you know, highly legally trained barrister sister who's now an adjudicator. I don't know what that actually is, Judith, to be quite honest, but yeah, there we go. But last week she was in prison and she told my aunt that she'd been in court with Sarah every day and how awful it had been. And she's got all these worries about men trying to inveigle themselves into Sarah's life and all this kind of thing.
It's very sad. But have you had moments where she's kind of got you and...
She knows who I am and that sort of thing. And yeah. She cried so much when I saw her this time. And just, you know, she's embarrassed because there's a kind of lucid side of her head that can see herself, what she calls being daft. And she says, I think my friends must be so disappointed in me. And that broke my heart.
Jenny.
Because she was so sort of, you know, sensible. She was such a sensible woman and so on it. And, you know, she knows that something is wrong. And I've never had the guts to say, you have dementia. And I don't know whether anybody does that. And I mean, the staff are wonderful. There's one member of staff who's been there since my dad was there. And she said, you know, when I realised your mother was here with dementia, I cried because I knew her so well, as you know, when she used to come see your father.
Really?
And I just didn't want it to have happened to her. Well, nobody wants it to happen to anybody, but it's a shitty disease. And the worst thing is, and this is a terrible admission, but I'm going to say it so that anybody else who feels it's a relief to get out of there when after I've visited her. It's a relief.
Jenny, that is a brave thing to say, and it is.
It's true.
It's understandable.
It's true.
It's
just you go, I cannot, I've done an hour and I'm not breaking, that's silly of me, but I'm just, you know, we're going around in circles here. It's awful. And, you know, the only thing is that I've got this bike here. So turning into you, Judith, I've got a bike here in Liverpool.
The one that you borrowed.
I bought it.
You bought a bike. Oh my God, you are turning into me. Bloody hell, Jenny.
I bought it ages ago. It's just here in my mum's flat. So every time I come up, I cycle to see her. I'm going again this afternoon. I'm taking my auntie Eileen. So I've got to go around there early. We've got to do COVID tests at home and then we can just go straight in.
I've
got to give my 95-year-old blind aunt a lateral flow test. So that's
good. But are you on the bike as well? Are you biking up and down the prom in Lytham?
When I'm going to see June, that's what I do. Because my mother lives very near the prom, and I cycle down the prom, which is so beautifully done. The other day, I cannot tell you how beautiful Lytham was looking. And I've always dismissed the place, because you do dismiss the place where you grew up.
You just go,
oh, yeah, whatever. And then you go back and you think, oh, fuck me, this is really nice. No wonder people come here. And it's pleasant. I mean, today it's grey, and I can look out from here now and just about see Southport, where I got caught shoplifting a long time ago. But, you know, it's...
I think a prom is very nice, isn't it? I mean, I do think...
A prom is a joy.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
And I don't think you... I kind of appreciated that when I was young. But actually, you can cycle on it. You can stroll, you know, and...
Yeah, you can get pushed in a bath chair.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
So, anyway, listen, we've got to get to Culture Corner.
Yes, we have.
It is Culture Corner time. And I know that you've only just got back from Croatia, but you've already got a gig under your belt.
Well, it's all these things that we've booked and have been postponed. They're all, it's kind of bloody hard work ticking them off. I tell you, they're all happening
exhausting.
At once.
You need another holiday.
Jesus. We got back late on Monday. Yeah, elbow start. Went to see Elbow. I love Elbow. And
was that last night?
Yeah, it was last night in the...
Where were they on?
At the Apollo in Hammersmith. We are such...
Oh, my God, so you had to travel
worse than that, Jenny. You know, because we're not used to this and we're sort of such part-timers, it said... Well, first of all, the shock was that we'd obviously paid for this cheap steak tickets of standing. That word standing suddenly I saw.
Oh, no, that's out.
Yes, yes. So we were doing
you
that.
You can't take a shooting stick to a gig. There's no soft turf.
I asked a few people. Yes, that's right. Even a Nordic pole, frankly. No, you weren't allowed to do that. And it said on the tickets, at doors at 7 o'clock. So we thought, right, well, we're going to get there at 7 o'clock. We've got all the paperwork to do and all that, you know.
What paperwork do you need for that kind of gig?
We have to kind of prove that, you know, you've got double jabs and all that stuff. And again, a lot of wafting, Jenny. A lot of wafting. So we got there about 10 to 7, thinking we'd do that. And of course, it can be bloody, you know, it didn't start until 8. And then it was a support act. Elba didn't come on until just after 9 o'clock. We could have frankly told you that. I bet you could.
I just said, come into town, have something for supper in Hammersmith. And get in just before 9. Unless you want to see the support act. Who are the support act? I don't know why they need a support act. No, why do Elbow need a support act? It's just something
very,
people
very
stand
good.
Through. I'm sure they were good, but, you know, you want you paid
good,
to see Elbow.
A lot of talking. Yeah, yeah. They were wonderful. I mean, Guy Garvey is...
I love him.
God, he's... Yeah. I do. Yeah, somebody else I've got...
I bet he could captain
actually.
A ship. I bet he could throw a rope. I bet he could throw a big blue rope and catch you, Judith.
They were really good, but I was bloody exhausted by the end of it, I tell you.
You must be knackered now. You think you've had a nap
totally
this
knackered.
Afternoon.
Totally, yeah, yeah very yeah. much so, very much so.
Well, how did you get in? Did you do coach or train?
No, we drove and we did drove. Just Park. Okay. Have you ever used Just Park?
Oh, yes, I did. I have. In when I went to Kew Gardens, this app. It's very clever, anybody that wants to drive into London, where people rent out their drives.
Their driveways, that's right. Yeah. So you park very specific times. So you could just say, that's where I want to park.
Yeah.
And not terribly expensive, actually. So, yeah, that was
And
that
walking
was really
distance
good.
From the venue, I presume.
Yeah, walking distance. Yeah, in fact, it was the Novotel staff. Car park, you see, some bright spark at Novotel thought, I'll tell you what, we'll rent out one of the staff car parking things. Very lucrative, I'm sure it is. So, yeah, get us.
I was in last night. I managed not to scald my tits in the shower. I stayed in with Bake Off. I hugely enjoyed it. I really did. And I recommend this afternoon, Judith, you lie on the sofa with your doggy, with Poppy, and you watch you do catch up. There you go. I've got a note. I'm writing you a note, Judith Holder, to take the afternoon off on the sofa with Poppy and Bake Off.
With Bake Off, yeah.
Okay, so I got an invitation, Judith, via Twitter from Philip Mould. Philip Mould does the Fake or Fortune television show. With
the one that wears those scarves.
Yes, I like Philip Mould.
Oh, I know who you mean. And for a moment, I thought you meant the double glazing man there for a minute, or was it the circus? Sorry, yes. Oh, yes. Yes,
no,
I'm sitting up.
Philip Mould, the very erudite and sophisticated art gallery owner and dealer. And he did this lovely thing during lockdown called Art in Isolation, which I got quite obsessed by. Anyway, he has a lovely collection, which is free for all to go and gander at. It's down in Pall Mall. It's the Philip Mould Gallery, and it is a collection of 35 Bloomsbury paintings, and they are lovely.
Very nice.
Some really gorgeous Duncan Grants, some lovely Vanessa Bells. Very, very nice. Lovely to see them all together. Things I have never seen before. Some are from, I recognise from Chartwell. Some are gathered from other galleries
very
around.
Nice.
But it's a a lovely little pop-in if you're in town. Also, art-wise, I saw the exhibition at the Dutch Picture Gallery. A girl called Helen Frankenthaler left me totally cold, but Jeff liked it. It was his 73rd birthday treat, so it was up to him. But the cafe was good. Do you know what I mean? So, books, Judith. Let's get on to books now. What did you manage on your holds?
I'm into the third one of the Cazalets, which is called Confusion, and I am absolutely absorbed in it. And it's coming to the end of the Second World War, and my goodness, you realise what a shit time women had really at that time. You know, no real kind of sense of a career and getting pregnant all the time, but also the kind of retarded emotional kind of climate really, where people died and nobody really was upfront about the process of grief and, yeah, just this rather buttoned
I'm very
up.
Tempted to dip back into those because I'm slightly good. Struggling with finding satisfying novels at the moment. I've just enjoyed Lisa Jewell's The Night She Disappeared, which is a very tightly plotted, proper story with great characters, very easy.
But contemporary,
very recently published, and it's okay. Much better than a lot of other things that have had more critical acclaim. I've read a couple of things that have had that I think are fashionable at the moment, and I have kind of doubted my own sort of critical faculties when sort of compared to what is being said about them.
Oh, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that.
No, I'm not mentioning names because I do think sometimes that I am picky. I am a bit picky. But I think if you want a very sort of undemanding and yet very edible female fiction writer, I mean, that, you know, not fashionable, not a Sally Rooney, but if you just want a thumping good stories, Lisa Jewell is a very safe pair of hands.
Right.
But I'm envious of the Cazalets that you're into at the moment. I haven't found that sort of great big comfort read. I've got the Bob Mortimer biography downloaded.
Oh, lovely. Have you?
And my driver fancies that as well. So I'm saving that for long trips. And the other thing that I'm reading, dipping in and out of, is a book that got the most recommendations on Twitter about the Bloomsbury Group. And it's fiction. It's called Vanessa and Her Sister by Priya Palmer. It's just about the sister's relationship at the moment. I've only just started it, so I can't really judge it yet, but I think I'm enjoying it.
Now, when you say the Bloomsbury set, I mean, I kind of think of all those gorgeous kind of fabrics and stuff, and
yes,
also that family. But I used to sit next to Virginia Bell, who I think is the daughter of Vanessa. Yes, she is. She just kind of exuded that sort of fantastic kind of art, you know, that background.
Bohemia,
stylish. And she looked very much like Virginia Bell, who I think was her aunt. Yeah, it must have been her aunt, who she was named
Do you mean
after.
Vanessa Bell?
No, she was named
after. She looked
after
like Virginia Woolf.
She looked like Virginia Woolf, and she was named after who I think was her aunt, and she's sister of Cressida Bell, who makes all that lovely fabric.
And
wallpapers along lovely, that Bloomsbury lovely. Sort of those Bloomsbury lines, and she, I was always the kind of, you know, the working. I sat next to her for about 2 years, in the office, and
was that when you were working at the BBC or ITV?
No, it was Yorkshire Television. We were both kind of working in children's, but I felt it was such a privilege really to sort of, you know, to get to know somebody who had that kind of heritage. I mean, my God, you know, there I was, sort of working class girl, kind of, you know, made her way up the greasy pole.
Yeah, with a great pair of tits.
We're so different, but yeah, she'd sort of casually sort of drop in these things that she was going back to Chartswell, and you know, that's where she... Yeah, I know. I went to her wedding, and it was full of all sorts of terribly sort of...
Oh, my goodness,
yeah,
Judy.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know.
Well, you've been round the block and some. You really have.
And you have.
Yeah, I have. And we're still going round the block, so we're still
doing
it, Judith. Right,
I'm looking forward, really looking forward to seeing your show very, very much, actually.
Well, I hope I don't disappoint you. Now, I'll get all uptight and things. Anyway,
won't.
It doesn't really matter.
No, you won't.
Anyway, so thank you very much to anybody who's written in. I've had some lovely comments about the show. Judith, have you been keeping tabs on our letters?
There was one problem. Somebody sent us in a problem, which I thought was really interesting. Somebody called Annika, who's 44 and 5 months. And she says, because we do like the odd problem, don't we? She says she suffers with really bad nerves during public speaking / interviews. And it seems to have gotten worse as I've got older. And it's the only thing I dread on promotion courses, role interviews, and I do my utmost to avoid it at all costs. So she's asking for some tips, really, about, you know, having to project yourself in public.
I think the idea of having to do role interviews is horrific. I think that, you know, not everybody is going to sort of be good at that kind of thing. Really unfortunate that the sort of job market has kind of adopted this stuff that only really appeals to certain types of people, and just because you're not great at that doesn't mean to say you're not great at everything else in the job.
No, and you know, it must be very, very difficult to do that. Absolutely.
Yeah, and there'll be some people going, oh great, 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 we're playing roles now. Let me be the role-playing person. Yeah, let me. I love doing this. You know, that's because some people do that. I think the thing is just to is actually to know your subject so well. Yes. And to be really, really, I always say to myself, this goes really tits up, I never have to do it again, I can always walk away, you know. Yeah. And I always sort of think of people in much worse situations and having much more horrible times. And
do you have an escape route? You know when you embark on your show, for instance, which is obviously like Annika's problem, but sort of hugely larger, isn't it? Because you've got this great big slab of time where it's just you on stage, Jenny. And do you have little kind of escape routes that you think, shit, if that goes wrong, I can kind of go there?
No.
You don't. Bloody
well, no,
hell.
The thing is that the material now is now written and the show is how I want it. It's got a sort of narrative arc in it. So, you know, yeah, there might be bits that some people feel a bit sort of impatient with, but it actually pays off later if they listen. Yeah. I've never been in a position where I've never been good at improvisation, ever. It's only in recent years that I've built some confidence up with improvisation, and I do a little bit every night with audience participation when they write things down on pieces of paper. And ooh, I genuinely lovely. Don't know what I'm going to get. That's fine.
Right.
It's their fault if it's boring. Do you know what I mean? But I think that without that experience, I arm myself with preparation. That's the
yes.
only thing I can
yes.
do.
Yes.
And to,
yes.
And to sort of know my stuff and to yes. go out saying, I've worked on this. I know my stuff. And, you know, this is all I can do for you.
I'm not sure what Annika is exactly asking, but I think if she's saying that her sort of those horrible feelings that you get before you go on and before you do something like a big, you know, presentation or something, which everybody gets. And I think I'm sure it's right to say that you don't do it very well unless you've got some of that. But I do think, don't you, that once you start, if you know what you're going to do, if you're really familiar with the shape of what you're going to do, once you start, you're too busy doing that to actually continue to be nervous.
It is all in the prep, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
It's knowing your stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Podcast and just yatter on like we
Yeah,
did.
Just yatter on, just fucking, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But all the best, Annika. And the thing is, it's sort of, I think sometimes you have to decide to enjoy yourself.
Yes.
Which is something that we all have the capacity to do more than we think. It's something that as you get older and you think, oh God, this is boring having to do this. And then you think, no, just enjoy it. Decide to enjoy it. Decide to enjoy this boring walk. Decide to enjoy this whatever.
That's a very, very, very profound thing to say. And it's true, though. It is true.
Decide to enjoy yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Just decide that this thing is going to be something which, okay, it might be challenging, but there's going to be some payback. There's going to be some satisfaction. There's going to be some enjoyment. Very good. Very good, Jenny. Very good.
There you go.
That's a bloody
So how
food.
Are you going to decide to enjoy yourself for the rest of the day, Judy?
I'm going to watch some telly with Poppy. You've already told me. And if you're on the bike in Lithington Towns, I tell you what, you're turning into me. It won't be long before you get a raised vegetable bed. I'm just saying, it'll happen. There you go. One of these days, Jenny Eclair.
A raised vegetable. We might have one down the roof. We've got a gardener coming this week who's going to sort it out. Well, we've got these very big aloe veras on our roof. They're bloody enormous. They're sort of Kew Garden size, and they have pushed through their metal containers.
Oh my God.
So they burst through. Having those repotted, and we're having the deck on the roof repainted, and we're having Phoebe's old bedroom done. Yeah, Judith, it's all been put into boxes. It's going into storage.
Wow.
And because she can't have it all at her place because she's put her flat on the market, and her estate agent has said to her, you've got to get rid of all this shit. So they've had to put a load of stuff in storage as well. Everyone's just hiding stuff in storage.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's we're all getting there slowly.
Oh, that sounds really really swish. So will I still be able to come and stay?
No, what? Judith, because it won't, you won't be staying there. You'll be staying in what was Jeff's study. Jeff's moving up. He's bagsed it. So his study will become a more comfortable spare bedroom.
Very nice.
All change at the Eclair household. That's why I'm up here at June's. I just wanted to get away from it all. Lots of love to you. I'm glad you're home. Thank you so much, Daisy. Sorry if my sound quality is a bit out of kilter. I've got a temporary microphone with me and it's not as good as the other one. So sorry about that. I will look forward to speaking next week, Judith.
Absolutely, and I hope June's okay, and you get some of the old June's afternoon.
I hope so for Eileen's sake as well because it's hard for her. It really is.
Yeah.
All right, well done then.
For doing that. All right then. I look forward to seeing your show, and we'll talk next week.
All right. Lots and lots of love.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.